Springfield's News Talk, FM 104.1 KSGF. Hey, everyone. Good morning. Hope you're doing just fine. We do have a winter weather advisory out. The Queen City Motors text and talk line is 447-KSGF. You can text into that number. You can call in as well if you want to, you know, if you have something to say, feel free to call in. Doesn't mean you'll necessarily get through, but there's a good chance, as long as what you have to say is relatively relevant. It's not a total free-for-all.
Do you have more texts or talk?
Oh, text.
Text.
Yeah, that is. And I don't know if that's a good thing or bad thing or indifferent, but with the ability for people to text, because a lot of times they, and I understand, you have a thought, a point.
Sure.
That doesn't necessarily require in conversation, if that makes sense. And so it's the sort of thing, and I can totally relate to this as a person who, before I did talk radio, listened to it, and I never really called in, but I would have these thoughts, just like, you know, a point in my head. Wouldn't be a question so much, but I'd hear something be like, well, yeah, how, you know, what about this?
Yeah.
And texting is very accommodating for that sort of thought, as opposed to actually calling in. So we get a lot of text messages for that reason.
That's great.
Oh, yeah. I think some of our stations, I think one of them has a text line. I don't know. But every so often, it'll come up. Like, do you guys use that text line? Like, oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. We use it a lot.
That's good.
I mean, constantly.
So. Yeah. Well, it's a
great answer to your question.
To get your point out and
get it
out in a hurry.
Yes, it is. And I try to get to. And then, of course, on Facebook, people make a lot of comments in there as well. So there are a number of places for people's voices to be heard.
That's what we're all about. There you go.
Well, kind of.
The state of Missouri may no longer face financial punishment for wrongdoing in some civil lawsuits under legislation that's been debated in the state Senate. The proposal would give the state sovereign immunity, protecting the Missouri government from punitive damages in cases such as unlawful discrimination, wrongful death, and others. A preliminary hearing date is set for a man charged with stabbing 19-year-old McKenna Milhon to death back in December. Lonnie Williams told Greene County authorities that he had picked up Milhon at a come-and-go at Kansas and Norton. Williams says Milhon started hitting him while he was driving north of Springfield, and he stabbed her. Williams' girlfriend is charged with helping him burn the clothes and hide the knife that he used. And an historic water tower has come down in Ozark, as it was no longer necessary for operating the town's water system. Ozark Board of Aldermen approved a $67,000 contract to have two water towers and a standpipe taken down in December of last year. Well, the Fire Protection District says there were no issues with that tower's fall and no interruptions to district services, and you can actually watch a video of that tower coming down at KSGF.com. And that is the latest news.
The KTTS First Alert Forecast, sponsored by Anchor Tactical Supply. Winter weather advisory is north of Springfield until midnight. Today, rain with a high of 39. Tonight, freezing drizzle, snow overnight, low of 16, partly sunny, 25 tomorrow, Friday, sunny, 38. Saturday, partly sunny with a high of 51, it's 34 with rain. Now, we got up at KSGF.com, and some of you this will be interesting to, some it may not. And I think we've got a couple of different things. One of them is the 2020 Democrat presidential nomination, the path to, if you will. And it is there's a map of the country, but it also shows you the delegate situation. And there are 3,979 pledged delegates, which means that in order to get the nomination prior to the convention, to get 50%, somebody has to earn 1,990. Now, these are called pledged delegates because there are also 766 what are called superdelegates. And superdelegates are what helped Hillary Clinton win the last nomination away from Bernie Sanders. Because the superdelegates, they're super. They can kind of do whatever they want. And prior to the races even occurring last time around, Hillary Clinton had those superdelegates pledging themselves to her. So she went into it with a head start. And when Bernie Sanders would, quote, lose the nomination, and the Democrats were trying to bring his people back in, being his voters, so that they would not sit out of the race and not vote. Bernie demanded a couple of things occur. And one of those things was that the superdelegates did not get to vote in the first round, but instead the second round. So in other words, they could not give anyone an advantage. Theoretically, the voters would ultimately have the choice to make. But if it came to a brokered convention situation and nobody got the first round of votes, then superdelegates would get to participate. And that is something, incidentally, that some within the DNC have been talking about changing before the vote actually happens, so that Sanders, they could prevent him from becoming president if necessary. But anyhow, it's, you know, something that's still potentially to come. But point being is, if you want to sort of just keep track and follow as we get closer to Super Tuesday, which even once that comes and goes, no one may have the necessary votes. You can see how many delegate votes each state has. I believe most of the states at this point also divide the delegates up. There are not winner-take-all situations as prevalent as they once were. Now, there's also, this is from a site called 270 to Win, 270 being the number of delegates needed to win the nomination for the, or to win the presidency. And I know Sarah has, you posted something for that up as well.
No, it's up.
All right. So both of those you can find at ksgf.com. And I guess some of you, you may not necessarily find it that interesting, but it does help. If you're following this to any degree and you're watching these races play out, and Super Tuesday we get to that, and all of a sudden you realize you don't necessarily even have a concept of, well, who's close to winning here, what's going on, and that site can give you some context. But if you just simply remember the number 1990, That's the 50% threshold that is needed for a candidate to win. And of course, every candidate is hoping that they will have that before the convention. That way it's all done and over with, and the convention is just more of a cheerleading event, a big infomercial for America as to why we would all be much better off in a country run by people who see things the way that Venezuela sees things. And that's what they're hoping for. Anyway, we've got that up there. Now, there is a news leader story. Every Republican senator except for Springfield's, that would be Lincoln Huff, votes for clean Missouri do-over. Now, clean Missouri has been it's a horrible, 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 horrible thing that has happened to the state of Missouri. It's something that people voted for. One of the indicators to recognize that this is not good is the fact that it was marketed as something different than it actually was. More accurately, there were a number of components to Clean Missouri. The most impacting of them were never campaigned on. Instead, there was this other little portion of it that we were told this is what it's all about, a part of it that was more appealing. And I'm just a big believer that if people are trying to sell you something and if they're hiding a huge part of it, even they know that it's something that isn't good overall for the people, that it's something that they have ulterior motives for. And Clean Missouri was one of those things. It's very important to understand this. Now, of course, like many things, it's not as simple as one is good, one is bad, so overturn it. There are a number of other components that are involved in this, so we're going to talk about that coming up. Talk and text line, sponsored by Queen City Motors, 447-KSGF. I'm Nick Reed. Sarah had a really good point or question, and this is one of those things that it's not necessarily impacting, but it's, I don't know, just pops in your mind. And she was asking the question, what happens when, for example, Andrew Yang drops out, as he did, but he's on ballots, you know, like sample ballots, and this is part of the reason that she was asking the question. Of course, we put up sample ballots at KSGF.com. And those sample ballots that are crafted and put together for us, that is information that comes from the local counties, because that is what they say, well, this is what's going to be on the ballot. So what happens to those names? What happens now in Missouri, for example, where the state has already certified these people on the ballot? And do they come off? And unless there's some exception that I'm unaware of, the answer is no, they will still be on there. And the reason for that is because, one, there's a point in time after the candidates become official candidates that they have to start printing all these ballots up. And you know, if every single time somebody dropped out, you know, like Cory Booker dropped out, oh, we got to reprint them without his name. Well, now Yang dropped out, we got to reprint them without his name. What if Klobuchar ends up dropping out, or any of these other candidates? Steyer drops out, Bloomberg drops out every time. And so, you know, it's just not a feasible thing to be able to do. And so you just leave them on there. Now, what if it's an actual election for office and they're on there and they get a lot of votes? What happens to those votes? Well, nothing really happens to them. What if it is the selection process, which is different from an election? This current process that's going on for the nomination of the Democratic Party's nominee. You know, for example, Yang dropped out. What if in Nevada he ends up winning some delegates? What happens to those delegates? That I don't know the answer to. Those would be rules set up by the DNC. It could possibly mean that they still, during the first round, even though that person has dropped out, they cast their vote for that individual, and then they're released in the second. The rules may say that they're free will to do whatever they want. And some of it may be dictated by the state itself. I don't know the answer to that question. But point being is, when you look at our sample ballots and you'll be like, well, wait a minute, these people dropped off. The reason that they are on there is because they will be on the ballot when you go to the ballot box. When you go in there to vote in the presidential preference primary that we have in the state of Missouri, at least if you grab a Democrat one and you see those names, or I guess the Republican one, because not Weld, but Walsh, was that his name? He dropped out. So he would be on the Republican primary ballot, right? Mm-hmm. So, but even though he's dropped out already. So that's why you'll see some names on there of individuals that have not dropped out, because they should be on the actual ballot itself. Okay. This is a time of the year I like, because I get to explain a lot of things that aren't really, it's just straightforward stuff. Civic stuff. And I just feel like really doing a good service. I like giving my opinions and explaining things and putting certain things into focus. But then I do get a joy out of some of these other just black and white issues, if you will, when it comes to voting and delegates and informing people. Because all these races and everything, they get talked about, but a lot of the behind-the-scenes stuff, or the way the functioning of the primaries and the caucuses, isn't really known. It doesn't get explained in news stories, because news stories have to be short and concise on television. And so it just, I don't know, it doesn't leave a lot of room for explaining that stuff. And then I get to do it. Every senator, every Republican senator, except for Springfield's, votes for Clean Missouri do-over. This is a News Leader story. A lot of Missouri Republicans really want another vote on Clean Missouri. Critics say voter-approved constitutional amendment changes the way their districts are drawn in a way that enables gerrymandering like never before. Well, that's true. I mean, I don't think critics are the only ones who say this was the point of it. Supporters of this. See, this is where I couldn't be a journalist, or I couldn't be a newsroom editor. I mean, now what does this mean? Critics say the voter-approved amendment changes the way their districts are drawn in a way that enables gerrymandering like never before. Well, that was it's not just critics. That was that aspect of Clean Missouri was the selling point, that the way the districts are drawn up currently isn't fair to Democrats. And so in order to make it more fair and more likely that they will win additional seats, the district should be redrawn. And that was the whole purpose of it. That's not a critic analysis. Now, I suppose the word gerrymandering they have a problem with. But that's exactly what it is. Anyhow, they say new lines will end up semblance of lawmakers representing communities, or will end all semblance of lawmakers representing communities. They don't blame voters, but instead people who cast ballots in favor of the changes were confused and need another shot at the idea this year. Lincoln Huff isn't buying it. When the Missouri Senate took up a plan Monday asking voters to reverse parts of the constitutional amendment, Huff, Republican from Springfield, voted no, even as the rest of the party went the other way. Afterwards, he told the news leader that his colleagues' concerns weren't enough for him. Quote, "I am not comfortable fixing a hypothetical problem because there are some unknowns with it." He also wasn't comfortable with senators judging whether or not voters understood Clean Missouri, saying we shouldn't be interpreting what we believe that they understood or didn't understand. That is not our job. Clean Missouri changes, which include new limits on lobbying gifts and campaign contributions, won support of 62% of voters statewide and 66% of Greene County voters in November of 2018. Huff told the news leader he, too, has reservations about Clean Missouri, which upends the redistricting system, long focused on drawing compact shapes like Huff's districts, which mostly consist of City of Springfield. The new system places a priority of drawing districts where the parties can be more competitive. In other words, the majority of Missouri, geographically speaking, Republicans win a majority of the time, and Democrats don't like that. So in order to make it more, it's not competitive. See, competitive means you compete, and the winner wins. They don't want competitiveness. Because they lose in that race, they want to change the rules, so it's easier for them. Okay, so now there are a number of different components to this I want to talk about. Number one, I have not had an opportunity, and this is something we can use the Locke and Smith Foundation for, perhaps on Friday, to go over the legislation itself to determine whether or not it is or isn't constitutional. See, sometimes what happens, and I'm not saying this is the case, I don't know, you will have something that is wrong, it should be overturned, but then the answer to it is also the wrong answer to it. And so while the end result is something that is a positive, the way about going about it isn't, or there are other components to it that are also not compliant with the Constitution, and so then you got, you know, two wrongs, if you will. So I don't know the answer, but what I want to talk about the positioning on this whole Clean Missouri thing anyhow. And one of these, we should have a do-over because voters were confused. Now, I absolutely 100% am secure in recognizing that the vast majority of voters had no idea that Clean Missouri was about drawing up districts so that Democrats have a greater chance of winning. I mean, just think about it for a moment. It is a total contradiction to believe otherwise, because you'd have to believe that the whole idea is that Missourians are unfair because they vote in so many Republicans. They're biased. And it's really unfair. So the mean old Republicans that vote Republican all the time, giving Republicans supermajorities, when given the opportunity, they're going to say, you know what, it's just not fair. So we want the districts to be redrawn, to be gerrymandered, so that the people we don't want in power have a better chance of being empowered. Now, does anybody believe that? Does anybody believe that? The whole point of Clean Missouri is that Republicans have, that there are too many Republican voters. That they just keep getting their way, and so we need to change, you know, redraw the lines. Well, then you expect us to believe that the people who are the problem were then the solution. And so, oh, yes, yes, you're right. We have too much influence as voters. We shouldn't have as much influence. We need to change things up so that we have less influence and that Democrats, the people we don't want in charge, have a greater ability to be in charge. It just doesn't make sense. It is obvious. I know this because I've talked to countless people who had no idea when they voted for Clean Missouri. That's what they thought this was all about, preventing lobbyists from giving money to lawmakers. That's what they thought it was all about, from buying gifts and influencing their votes. That's what they believed it was about. That being said, I'm not a big believer in changing something simply because the voters did not understand it. I want to explain that. But that being said, I do. While I don't know about this specific legislation, Clean Missouri does need to go away. First, a quick break. More ahead. I'm Nick Reed. Get a lot of bonuses when you use iwantagreathomeloan.com. Of course, one of the bonuses is that you are pre-qualified, or if you do get pre-qualified for an option or more than one option, it's customized to whatever best suits you. Once you find that home that you like, you are able to say, I'm serious about this. They know you're serious about it, and they know that you are really qualified to be able to pay what they're asking, or at least the offer that you're making. That's a very, very powerful thing. Because if you come in and you're like, yep, we love this, we want to get this house, I'm just going to go and secure a loan, and somebody comes in after you and they're like, oh, here's my pre-qualification letter, I've already been approved, guess who gets it? It ain't you. But at the same time, you might be, and this happened with me, and I know it's happened with a number of other people, that you know, you got your credit score, and it's, you know, pretty good, and this is what your interest rate's going to be. But if it's 20 points higher, you can save a tremendous amount of money. You get a lower interest rate. How do I do that? That's part of what Don Carriker will show you. Just one simple, you know, it may be as simple as paying $80 off on a credit card, depending on your current situation. And you can say, I mean, it's just amazing the things that you can do that make a tremendous difference like that. Those are the sorts of things that Don Carriker and his team do for you. So if you want more than just find out what sort of interest rate you can get over what term, iwantagreathomeloan.com. Because you do. Don Luzader now with news.
And good morning. A man from Ozark has pleaded guilty in federal court to failing to pay more than $300,000 in employment taxes. John Hardwick owned and operated JTBT Investments in Hardwick Quartz and Granite, both in Springfield. He could get up to 5 years in prison without parole. A bill in Missouri would ban public colleges and universities from offering in-state tuition discounts to students living in the U.S. illegally. Missouri schools now face losing state funding if they offer those students anything less than the tuition rate charged to international students. That's because of budget restrictions that state lawmakers have enacted in recent years. But this bill would enshrine that budget policy into law. Critics say the cost of international tuition creates barriers for those students to attend college and could push them to leave Missouri. And that is the latest news.
KTTS First Alert forecast. Rain, a high of 39 today. Freezing drizzle, snow overnight with a low of 16. There is a winter weather advisory for areas north of Springfield until midnight. Tomorrow, sunny 25. Friday, sunny 38, 34 with rain. Every Republican senator except for Springfield votes for Clean Missouri do-over. I believe it is SJR 38. And it would allow for the undoing of, essentially, and this is the focus of it, gerrymandering for the purposes of making it more fair for Democrats. One of the public arguments regarding a do-over, if you will. This is something that Missourians passed to a vote. One of the arguments is that they didn't know what they were doing. Now, I'm a firm believer. I bet you 90% of people who voted for Clean Missouri did not know that it required gerrymandering for the purposes of helping Democrats win more seats. It sure wasn't sold that way, was it? Were they running ads out there saying it's just not fair that Democrats don't win more seats, that Republican voters have so much influence, so we need to draw the districts up so that Democrats have an easier time winning? You didn't hear any of those commercials, did you? No, instead you heard about lobbyist gifts. And that was going to clean up politics, because that's the problem. That's what causes a politician to be corrupt, when somebody buys them tickets to a basketball game. And people like that idea. And they're like, oh, this sounds good. Lobbyists are bad. They corrupt otherwise innocent, pure as the driven snow lawmakers with gifts. And so we're going to stop that behavior. And so that's what they voted for. Now, all that being said, I'm not a believer that that is a reason alone to overturn it. The reason it should be overturned, not that I, and again, I don't know specifically if this resolution is the way to do it, but the reason it should be overturned is because it's horrible. Just the idea of it, simply because the Democrats, who used to control these seats several decades ago, have gotten out of touch with Missouri voters, that they think that they should be able to just change the district so that it's easier for them to win. I mean, talk about lazy and just whiny and, well, we can't win, so we need to change things up. Not to mention, that's not how districts theoretically should be driven up drawn up in a way that has a lawmaker representing a particular district that makes sense. You know, whether it is, I don't know if necessarily culturally, but just, you know, I mean, you got an area that's urban. You got an area that is more farmland. You got an area that is vast and where people live in a culture where they don't hardly ever even see any other people. These are much, much different mindsets of individuals. So it makes sense to have people represent them. The point of the districts should be to represent the different areas of the state, not to make it easier for Democrats to win. I mean, it's just absolutely absurd on its face that, like, that's how districts should be drawn up. In case you haven't noticed, the point should be representation of people. That's why those offices exist. It's not so that Democrats can have as many seats as Republicans, because it's just not fair. That's not what that job is for. So that's the reason that this is a bad idea. It isn't, and the reason that it should, in one form or another, constitutionally speaking, be undone or be overturned, is because it's just bad in every sense of the way. And I'm sorry. If the only way Democrats can, end up winning seats is not through their ideas, not through get out the vote, not through their platforms, not through voter registration, not through any of those ways, but just, well, we'll just draw the districts up so that it's easier for us to win. You shouldn't be winning races. I mean, just the absurd. They ought to be embarrassed. It's like a team that constantly loses, and so they change the rules to cater to their gameplay. Oh, look at us. Look how we're winners all of a sudden. Well, you change the rules. Eric Holder is one of the big proponents of this. You know, former attorney general under Barack Obama. The guy who is behind running weapons into Mexico fast and furious. That guy, he pushes, not specifically in its name, Clean Missouri, but the initiative to change districts to make it easier for Republicans Democrats to win by changing the rules. And he highlights on this site of this organization of his that Barack Obama is all supportive of and a part of, highlights Missouri as a success with Clean Missouri. I mean, this is just one of many attempts. Now, I also don't believe Let me put it this way. I don't know why Lincoln Huff is against this. I don't believe it's for, you know, because, oh, the legislation's not constitutional or anything. He's not one of those that concerns himself with that. Lincoln Huff is a guy who at one point was supportive of the national vote, which is another just blatant attempt by Democrats to completely annihilate the Electoral College, the way that the Constitution dictates we select the President of the United States. And that is where, and you see some Democrat-run states, and they pass legislation saying that they will discount how the people of their state vote for president, but instead cast their electoral votes towards the popular winner. So if that were to go into effect, for example, for Missouri, which it won't as long as clearer heads prevail, the last presidential election would have gone to Hillary Clinton in Missouri under a national vote. It didn't matter that the tremendous amount of Missourians that said Donald Trump won every single county except two, maybe three in Missouri. Under a national vote compact, Hillary Clinton would have won Missouri. And Lincoln Huff has been a supporter of that. So my point isn't to demonize him or, you know, say he's a bad guy. Sometimes I honestly think he doesn't really know I don't know. It's hard for me to theorize on this without it sounding like I'm trying to insult him. And that's not what I'm trying to do. My point is, I don't know the real reasons why he is not in support of overturning this. Again, there may be an argument that the way that the legislation itself isn't the right way to do it, but that's not what he seems to be. He's like, well, I just don't believe that, he just doesn't seem sold on the idea. So, all right, we're going to take a break. We've got a couple of calls lined up on the Queen City Motors talk and text line, so we'll get to those coming up in just about 90 seconds. I'm Nick Reed. This Eric Holder organization called All on the Line, and they call it fair maps, fighting for fair maps. This is the gerrymandering to make it easier for Democrats to win. And, of course, they do what Democrats always do. They portray what they're doing is fighting against the very thing that they're doing. They claim, oh, no, this is a fight against gerrymandering. It's the opposite. But on their site, they list key targets to do what was done here in Missouri. And listen to these targets: Arizona, Colorado, Florida, Georgia, Michigan, North Carolina, Ohio, Pennsylvania, Texas, Wisconsin. Now, all of these states fall under one of two categories. One, either they are Republican strongholds, or two, they are states that are sort of the purplish states that Trump has managed to make more Republican, like Ohio and Pennsylvania and Wisconsin. You know, isn't that amazing? Isn't it amazing that none of the states that they want to redraw the districts to make them more fair are states that are Democrat strongholds like California, in which Republicans might as well not even try to get. They never talk about how unfair that is for Republicans, or New Jersey or New York. I mean, the list of targets themselves makes it so clear. And any of these interviews that are done with Eric Holder about his attempt to make things more fair, nobody seems to ever ask him, how come you don't target any states that always vote Democrat? How come you don't carry out an effort to redistrict lines in those states so that Republicans have a chance to get control? Isn't that an interesting thing? Let's go to Fairgrove Marshall. Welcome to the show, sir. How are you?
Oh, great. Nick, keep on doing what you're doing.
Okay.
Getting that information out to the people is very important. And I really do believe that that bill that they proposed, it was just pure trickery to the American, you know, who thought they might be reducing bribery of a politician by not, you know what I mean, by the lobbyist thing.
Yeah.
Of course, we know that by doing that, it prevents the opponent of an incumbent from actually having enough money and power to kick them out of their chair. So it wasn't really going to help in the first place. Then they introduced the second thing, which is the remapping. Now, the judge that allowed that two questions on that to be voted on, that is totally unconstitutional. It should be one thing at a time.
Right.
Okay, let's vote for this, yes or no. Let's vote for that, yes or no. And Lincoln Huff and other politicians like him need to understand that they are representing us, not their own personal agenda, right?
Well, and what and this is the problem, if you want to call it that, is you'll have them say, well, you know, a majority of people voted for this. And then, of course, the other side is saying that, well, that's they didn't understand it. And to me, while both of those assertions are accurate and true, the ultimately the reason, and this is what I believe that you're saying also, is that when it comes to representing us, that is what is, you know, best. And telling, especially if you are in a district that has a majority of Republicans, that their district should be redrawn so that they are less likely to be represented, that is not in support of the constituency. It's just not. I don't know how anyone would think that to be the case. And by the way, same thing for Democrats in the highly populated urban areas. It is just as unfair to tell people, you know, if you've got a 70% Democrat existence in inner, you know, city St. Louis, that, oh, we're going to draw it up to make it more fair for Republicans to win. No, that's not right. And by the way, that's why a number of African-American lawmakers were also opposed to Clean Missouri, because they recognized it was their seats that would be sacrificed. That if this swung the other way, the few Democrats that might lose their seats would be Democrats in the inner city, which are, guess what? African-American. So there were a number of high-profile African-American leaders and lawmakers even in Missouri that were they wrote op-ed pieces against this. But the way they saw it is, some African, you know, will gain more in the white parts of the state than we'll lose in the black parts of the state. And so, you know, they were just looking at the numbers. They didn't really care about the African-American in that capacity. Let's go to Joe in Springfield. Hi, Joe. Welcome.
Hey, Nick. I just want to repeat what the Patriot from Fair Grove just said. That the whole problem with it was the courts allowing two unrelated issues on the same ballot, on the same question. If they had been separated, where we could have explained to them what gerrymandering was and what they were voting for, that half of it would have never passed.
And this is a point that it does get overlooked, but it is a very, very important point. And I'm glad. Thank you, Joe and Marshall, for making this point. What they're talking about is, in Missouri, when it comes to an item that people will be voting on, it is supposed to be one subject. So in other words, if there is I'll give you an example of a violation of this, and you say, well, how could it they violate it all the time. The latest attempt to raise taxes in Missouri through by way of a gas tax started out as a whether or not to tax Olympians for the gold medals that they get. And then that became, then the gas tax got thrown in there, and I think there was something else in there. And so what happens is you're in a situation as a voter where part of it you may support, but part of it you don't. And so in order to prevent a voter from having to vote against something simply, you know, that they may support because another part of it they're against. So, for example, here, okay, maybe I don't think Olympians should be taxed on their gold medals or silver medals or bronze medals if they win them. But I'm also opposed to a gas increase. That means you have to violate your belief in order to vote at all because, you know, if you don't want to raise taxes and you vote no, then you are also voting against the exemption for the Olympians. But if you do, you know, want to vote to exempt Olympians, then that means by default you have to vote to raise taxes. And so it's forcing people,
you know, to vote for something that they may not want to vote for. So that is something that cannot be done in Missouri. But the problem is it happens all the time. And those last two callers were pointing out that was part of the problem with this Clean Missouri is that it was covering a number of different areas. So if you were a Missourian who supported the idea of banning gifts from lobbyists or at least limiting them to $5 in value, so you supported that, but you were against gerrymandering for political purposes to make things more fair, you could not vote for one and against the other. You had to vote either for both of them or against both of them. And listen, the reason it's done this way, well, there's a number of different reasons, but one of the reasons it was done this way for Clean Missouri is because they knew, and this was part of the point that the last caller was making, that they wouldn't be able to sell the gerrymandering argument. They wouldn't be able to go out there and convince people, particularly when you have most all of these Republican voters, that it's just not fair that you guys win so many seats, so you need to change the rules to make it easier for us, that wouldn't sell. So what do? They couple it with something that really sticks it to the lobbyists, knowing that that's very popular, and that's what they sold it on. Trojan horse. Snuck in the redistricting thing. Masquerading as cleaning up politics by sticking it to the lobbyists. So, again, how does it happen? Well, a judge lets it happen. Now, how do they justify it? They claim that it's all one subject matter because it all has to do with fairness. And although those things may be separate in their functions, one has to do with redistricting and one has to do with lobbyist gifts, ultimately, it's one subject matter because it makes it more fair and more honest. And therefore, they're not two conflicting votes or two separate votes. That's how they rationalize it and justify it. Here's traffic with Parker Padgett. I'm Nick Reed.